listening by CD. I would like to invite you to check out our website. I'll give you the website address here in just a moment. I encourage you to go to the website. You can check out recent messages. I write a blog every Sunday to go along with the message, so you can follow along and just kind of go over that even during the week, just strengthen your faith and to build your confidence in the Lord and in His Spirit, just His grace in our lives. So I encourage you to do that. Also, on that homepage, I'll keep you updated on when we will be allowed to gather once again in groups of more than 10. And so that'll be on that homepage as well. So please check that out. If you have maybe children, grandchildren, if you go to the ministries link, you'll see a little insert that says kids. And there is the last take-home page that if you have not gone over that, please print it off or just go over it with sons or daughters or anyone that the Lord may put in your heart, a little way to keep in touch with them as they're able. Then also, if you would like to give, you can do that through our secure website. You can do it through debit or credit card or through the check account. I want to say this about their giving. Who we partner with in ministry is important because we get to share in the anointing and fruit of that particular ministry. So if it's in your heart to give, you can do that. Of course, if you'd like to mail it, the address is 118 South 11th Avenue, 118 South 11th Avenue, and that's in Hopewell, Virginia. The zip code is 23860. And the website is just simply the initials of the church, CLM, and the word family, CLMFAMILY.org, CLMFamily.org. And for everyone, next week is Easter, a celebration of Resurrection Sunday, which we celebrate the Lord's resurrection every day, I trust. But it will be a very unique, a very different Easter for, I guess, all of us, and for at least if you have a church background at all. But that's okay. We'll do what we can. And Lord willing, we are planning to share communion here next week. And again, while we cannot gather, we invite you to join us and we can partake together. Maybe we can partake at the same time if you're watching this as it's being streamed. And you can maybe get your bread or juice, or we use like a cracker and unleavened bread. So if you'd like to join us, please join us right there in your homes or wherever you may be that you can share in this time together. But today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, Mark chapter 11, we read these words in verse 7. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and Jesus sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees, and they spread them on the road. And again, John tells us that these branches were branches from palm trees. And you know that there are only really a handful of events in the life of Jesus recorded in all four Gospels. Of course, the death and resurrection is recorded in all four, but Palm Sunday is recorded in all four as well. And why? Jesus or the Holy Spirit just didn't inspire these authors to just put it in there. There is a reason. And I like to try to find out, Lord, not only why is this here, but what can we get out of it today? And that's what I trust that the Lord would speak to our hearts today is, what is the message for us and how can we apply it to our lives right in the midst of these present circumstances and situations that we're facing? Why is it important? And I wanted to continue on in Mark there in just a moment, but I want to go back into the book of Psalms and read a few verses from the 92nd Psalm, because this really does relate to the palm tree. And of course, those who were there celebrating Palm Sunday would be familiar with this scripture. But the Bible says in Psalms chapter 92, beginning in verse number 12, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, he or she. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." I love that scripture. I don't consider myself to be old, but Lord willing, I'll live to get there. And I want to be fresh and flourishing. I want to flourish and I want to be fruitful. And so the message today is simply this: flourish like a palm tree. Flourish like a palm tree. Based on these scriptures, God wants us to flourish like a palm tree. In other words, he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear the fruit of his Spirit, which is growing in Christ's likeness. And these verses give us the context for this. It says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The righteous are those who are in right relation with God. And the only way that any of us can come into right relationship with God is to have our sin completely removed. And the only thing that cleanses from all sin is the sinless, powerful, cleansing life's blood of the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah. And we come to him and we believe God and we receive Jesus as our Lord, then he forgives our sin, adopts us into his family, and we are made right with God, and his Holy Spirit indwells us. So we are righteous if we know the Lord, and it says being planted in the house of the Lord. And of course, there was a temple at the time that these words were penned and written down. But today, we're not limited to a building. I know we say we go to church, and I know what we mean. I'm not criticizing it or putting it down. I say it. But the church is not a building. When people are gone, the church is just a building, but the church still lives and still remains. We who know the Lord are the church, and being planted in the house of the Lord is being planted in fellowship with godly people. It's possible to go attend a religious service, call it church, and not be planted, not be really in fellowship with godly people. The Lord wants us to not only be in right relationship with him, but to be in right relationship with one another, having godly people in our lives to help us. We need each other. Oh my goodness, if you haven't realized that by now, I hope that the Lord would put that truth in your heart. We need each other to really flourish and be fruitful as the Lord would want us to. Flourish like a palm tree. I want to go back here to Mark chapter 11 and just center on three things. I believe I can summarize it in three words of how to flourish like a palm tree. I'll give them to you and then we'll look at the scripture on each one. But it's simply this. We flourish like a palm tree with praise, to praise, to purify, and to persevere. Those three words, praise, purify, and persevere. And again, I'll repeat them as we go through. But here in Mark chapter 11, and continuing reading in verse 9, the scripture says this, Mark chapter 11, verse 9, then those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The first way that we flourish like a palm tree is by praise. The scripture here says the people were crying out, Hosanna. They were actually singing a song. This song, these words are taken from a song. It's found in Psalms 118. Psalms 118 was one of the songs that people were singing that very week for a holiday called Passover. So they were singing the songs even as they were traveling up to Jerusalem to observe the Passover later on that week. And they were saying, Hosanna. But if you read it in most of the translations there in the English, in the book of Psalms, what it says is save now, because that's what Hosanna means. And just in my heart, it's so strong. Lord, if we've ever said it, if we need to say it, sing it now. Hosanna, save now, Lord. We need you to come and rescue us in this present distress. So the people were calling out, they were looking to Jesus, and they were saying, save now, save now. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But that psalm says that the reason the people were giving God praise is they were giving God praise for his goodness and his mercy and because he had become their salvation. So when the people, I don't know that they were really recognizing what they were saying, but they were basically saying to Jesus, you are good, your mercy endures forever, and we need you to save us. Now here is the problem at that time. Jesus came to save us from our sins, but some people, in fact many, were not looking for salvation from their sins. They were looking for salvation from the Romans. And many of us have lived long enough to know that sometimes our expectations can be misguided. And I don't know this. I wasn't there. I haven't interviewed anyone. But I wonder if some of the very ones who on what we call Palm Sunday were saying Hosanna, shouting Hosanna, just a few days later that week were shouting, crucify him, because Jesus did not measure up to their expectations of a Messiah who would free them and save them from the Romans. I just want to encourage you with this. We don't base our praise on God's performance of how well he meets our expectations. We base our praise on the fact that he is God. We base our praise on who he is. He is the creator. There is none like him. Satan opposes him, but Satan is not opposite him. He has no equal. He has no rival. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere present, and that is why we initially give him praise. But we also base our praise on not only who he is, but what he has done. The Bible says that he spoke and universes appeared. Things appeared and came into being, whether they're visible or invisible, just by his mighty power. So we see the power of God displayed in creation and we give him praise. He didn't just display his power in creation. He displayed it at the cross when he willingly laid down his life because he loved us so much and we were separated from him by our sin because he is holy. And yet he reached down to where we were. He punished our sin on his own son, and he died in our place. But 3 days later, he came back to life, and he conquered sin, he conquered Satan, he conquered death, and he has ascended back to his rightful place in his throne in glory, ready to save everyone who comes to him in faith. So we give him praise for who he is, what he has done. We give him praise. I thank God. I give him praise for grace in my life right now. I need help every day. I need grace. I need his presence. I need his spirit. And I thank God he's with me. So I give him praise. And I give him praise for yet what is to come, because I have the assurance of his eternal inspired word that we have a good future coming. And there are good things in store for us if we know the Lord and we can give him praise. That's why we give him praise. That's why we honor him. And brothers and sisters, that Psalms 92 ends with flourishing like a palm tree, but it begins with giving God praise. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every evening. Praise. You want to flourish like a palm tree? Praise. Give God praise, because praise is good ground to flourish in. Praise, purify, and persevere. Let me look at this second one now. Mark chapter 11. The Bible says this in verse 11. Mark 11:11. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So here is the scene. Jesus, they're praising him, save us now. He goes on into the temple, and the whole temple complex, it wasn't just the building, it was the temple complex there. And so he walks in, and he's checking it out. He's observing everything that's going on in the temple on that day. He didn't observe as a visitor. He observed as Lord. And so he's checking it out. He goes, he stays the night out of the city, and the next morning he comes back. On his way to the temple, he sees a fig tree. And this fig tree was in full bloom with leaves. And just from studying about these fig trees, this particular tree, if it had leaves in bloom, it's an indication that it also has fruit. So Jesus is hungry, and he goes up to the tree, and he finds no fruit. And he says these words, "Let no fruit ever grow on you again." And basically, the tree dried up. And then he proceeds right in there, and all three of these accounts events are linked together in this account. Palm Sunday, the cursing of the fig tree, and then he goes actually up into the temple. And the Bible says this, that when he comes into the temple building in verse 15, he came to Jerusalem, and then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He wouldn't allow anyone to carry their wares through the temple. What in the world was that all about? I thought Jesus was so nice and he never got upset. And he is nice. He is loving. But he is God in flesh. He is all powerful. And he goes in. Remember, he looked around. He saw what was happening. And there were people there who had come from all over. Estimates from historians of the time say there could be 100,000 people who would come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. Now, people who were coming for Passover, they would bring a sacrifice, an offering that they could bring to the Lord. And sometimes they would come from such a distance, or they would have foreign currency that it wasn't accepted there. So what they would do is just bring their money. They would go to this temple complex on the outside there, outside of the building, and maybe someone who was non-Jewish, traveled from a long way, these money changers would exchange it for what would be acceptable to give into the temple, or they could purchase a sacrifice that they wanted to offer to the Lord. But what was happening, it was these money changers and these merchants were taking advantage of the people, and they didn't really have any other choice of what to buy or what to present. So they were taking advantage of them, ripping them off, and especially people who were non-Jews. And as a result, true worship to God was being hindered, and Jesus didn't put up with that. He goes in, he tips over their tables. He made a whip, and he beats them out. He drives them out. And this is what he says in verse 17. Jesus taught them, saying, Is it not written, my house, notice that, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. God's heart is for every people group, for all people to come to know him and to know his forgiveness and life and to be in his presence. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. So what is the message for us out of all of this? I believe this is it. It's very personal. The message is in purify. So first praise and then purify. I'll just say this, God wants our praise and our songs on Sunday to be more than lip service. See, when Jesus saw that fig tree, it had leaves. It looked like it was producing fruit, but it had none. And in the same way, the outward leaves of religion and ritual mean nothing without a heart for God. God wants us to produce the genuine fruit of being in close fellowship with him that his Holy Spirit produces, and to cleanse our heart, just like the Lord went in and cleansed the temple. We are the temple of God today if we know him, to just come before him. And even as the psalmist would pray, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. Know my anxious thoughts. And Lord, if there's any way that's offensive, reveal it to me. I want to make it right with you. And then lead me in the right way. I love these verses in 1 John chapter 3. I want to read these. 1 John chapter 3. If you're following along, you can turn. We may have them on the screen for you. But it says this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. It's an amazing expression of God's love for us, that he wants us to call him Father. And that's what, not just call him, but he wants to be our Father. There aren't many religions, I don't know of actually any, that really describe a God who is, yes, he might be powerful and so forth, but who is not only all powerful, but so all loving that he wants us close to his heart and he wants us to be in close fellowship with him. He says, behold, think about it. What manner of love he has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Verse 2 says this, beloved or loved ones, now we are children of God. Not I hope to be one day. No, we can know him right now. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. In other words, we don't know just yet what we will be like in that day when we're really in glorified bodies. But the scripture gives us this confidence and assurance and this promise. But we know that when Jesus is revealed, We shall be like him. We will not be God, but we will be without sin. And we will be like him. This is why. For we shall see him as he is. We will get to see him in his full glory. And then I love this promise in verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in Jesus purifies himself just as he is pure. If we're in Christ today, then we are the special objects of God's love. God is our Father. And this is what the scripture says here. It says that you're loved. God wants us to make ourselves at home in his love, to not see him as just some distant deity, but as a loving Father who loved us and gave himself for us, and to be at home in his love. But then he also wants us to live in the hope of Christ's likeness, that when we see him, we will be like him. He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until that day that we meet him face to face. And I believe that truth and that hope can inspire us to want to live to please God right now, and to be able to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my heart to be right with you. Or if we know we did something wrong, let's not hold on to that. Let's make it right quickly. Let's turn from it, receive God's love and forgiveness, and stay in close fellowship with him. So again, search my heart, search my mind, know my motives. May the Lord reveal motives to us that are not pleasing to him, so that we can turn and make our way completely peaceful with the Lord. And then I want to share one more. So again, how do we flourish like a palm tree? By praise, to purify, and then finally to persevere. Praise, purify, and persevere. Sometimes it's helpful, I believe, when we confess things. Of course, I can't hear you. But if it's helpful to you, you can even say it. In fact, if you're there with someone that you maybe you care about, why won't you prophesy to them, just as I want to speak to you today, and just tell them, flourish like a palm tree. I want you to flourish. I want you to be fruitful. Flourish like a palm tree. And then would you join me to just say, praise, purify, persevere. Praise, purify, persevere. And I want to close with a scripture here in Revelation chapter 7, as God allows us to see into the future. And one of his disciples, John, God reveals himself and what is yet to come. And we'll read these words in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations. I want to point that out, because again, God wants everyone to know him. All nations, all people groups, tribes, people, and tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Notice this. They're clothed with white robes. There's the purity. There's the where they're purified. And palm branches in their hands. Notice that. That they're pure. They've got palm branches in their hands. This is coming up in eternity. And they're crying out in verse 10, saying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They're praising. They're putting all three together. They've got praise, purify, perseverance. I'll read you the perseverance now. The Bible says this in verse 11. And the angels stood around the throne with the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, amen. So be it. Blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders comes over to John, and he asked John, he says, where did all these people come from? John said, you're the one who knows that. I don't know. And he answers these words in verse 14. I said, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Remember that phrase, they came out of great tribulation. Then verse 16. Verse 15 says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him night and day in the temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them He will lead them to living waters, fountains of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Persevere. Jesus told us that in this life, we will have tribulation. We're going to go through some dark valleys. We're going to go through some tough times. But he said, don't let that get you down. Take heart, because I've overcome this world system. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. Because I conquered, you're going to conquer as well. You just follow me, and I'll lead you through to victory. Yes, we're going to go through tribulation. The whole world is in a time of tribulation right now. And I'm not the bearer of bad news to say this. It's just the effects of living in a world that is broken by sin. There will be more tribulation to come. I believe we're going to come through this season, but yet there will be other seasons, and not just on a worldwide scale. Every one of us go through our seasons in our personal lives, maybe in our families or work or wherever it may be. We all face that tribulation, the trouble, the trying times. We go through the dark valleys. We go through the times of testing. But I want to emphasize that. We go through. We don't stay. We don't have to live there. We will go through because we're going to persevere by God's grace. The Lord is faithful, and we're just going to keep on serving the Lord, and we're going to flourish. I just believe this. We're going to flourish like a palm tree. Yes, we're going to be affected by things. We're not exempt from the hurts of this world. You know, even our bodies are subject. They can get sick. And eventually they weaken and so forth till the time the Lord calls us home. But we're going to flourish like a palm tree because we are in right relationship, close fellowship with our good shepherd. We're going to flourish like a palm tree because we're praisers. We're not just attendees on a Sunday morning. We're praisers in our lifestyle. We purify our hearts and lives as the Lord leads us and he shows us anything that's not pleasing to him. And we're going to persevere by God's grace. It's not how much strength you can muster up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He sustains us. He is our strength. And he gives us grace to make it through. And I believe we can make it through fruitfully to the glory of God. I believe we can flourish like a palm tree in spite of the difficulties of situations. We can prosper on the inside in our spirit. And I believe it can come out in our lives. And we're going to have a closing prayer and song in just a moment. But I want to ask you this. Let's just be real. Between you and God, do you believe God's word? And have you received Jesus as the Lord of your life? If not, will you do that even now? Is God's Holy Spirit drawing you to just simply come to that place of saying, God, I know I've sinned and I'm sorry. I want to be right with you. And I believe Jesus died to pay for all of my wrongs. And you love me that much. And I believe he's alive right now. And just call on him and say, Jesus, I receive you as the Lord of my life. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and help me to live for you. And then maybe you know the Lord. And maybe this has just been a time of just encouraging you to draw closer to the Lord. Oh my goodness, we need to stay so close to him. I want to ask you, will you base your praise more on God's character than on your circumstances? Will you just seek to give him glory and honor, give him thanks? Will you just regularly search your heart? It's spiritually healthy to just regularly come before the Lord and say, Lord, search me. Lord, I know I've been forgiven of all my sins, but I don't want anything to come between us. I want to be in close fellowship with you. Show me, Lord, and then give me grace to help me to remove that from my life, to cleanse this temple. And then finally, just will you persevere? And the only way I know how to do that is by staying in close fellowship with your good shepherd and following him closely every day. I want to invite the worship team to come back up just now, and I would like to lead us in prayer. And again, flourish like a palm tree. Just between you and God, I want to just take a moment as they begin to play. I'll let you just have a moment with the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit search you. Think about where you can apply this message to your life. And then I'd like to lead us in a prayer. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. What is it? Will you stay close to him daily daily. Make him a priority. The Lord wants us to flourish and to be fruitful, not ultimately for ourselves, but for his glory, and so that others can be blessed and drawn to him as well. So let's close in prayer. Father, I lift up each one before you right now who's watching or listening, whatever the case may be. And I pray that you would just speak to every heart. Only you can do so. But I recognize that you can do so. And you can take the same word and make it personal in multiplied hearts and lives, even over time. So I'm asking, Lord, will you do that even now? Let each one hear what the Spirit is saying. And then you ask you to give us a heart to desire to please you, ears to hear, and a heart to respond. Help us to live it out for your glory and honor. Bless your people. May you multiply your grace and your peace to them for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you sing?